History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're speaking to pastor and missionary Mike Headley. Welcome along to History Makers, Mike. Tell us a bit of your story. Where were you born and raised?
Thank you, Matt. Yes, I was born in London, southeast of London, in 1939 at the beginning of the war.
Okay, and did you have like a religious upbringing at all?
Yeah, my parents were Anglicans. My grandfather was a choir boy. My father was a choir boy, and I became a choir boy.
Okay, and did you have a faith in Jesus at a young age, or were you just attending Sunday school like a good kid?
The latter, because I didn't fully understand. All I know is God was good. All I knew was that it's good to be a Christian.
Mm. Okay.
And I knew that he died on the cross, of course. It didn't mean much to me.
So was there a conversion experience later on in life, or was it just something that kind of happened gradually?
When I was 15, Billy Graham came to London. That was his first visit. And Haringey Arena, and there was thousands of people there, and I went. And I ran to the front to give my life to the Lord.
Wow. And tell us, did your life change dramatically overnight?
Well, yes. It did. The problem was that nobody nurtured me. I didn't follow through to find somebody. I didn't know where to turn. And so I went for 20 long years, had Christ in me because I accepted him. But the thing is, I didn't know what I was doing. So every time I did something wrong, I sinned, I felt so terribly guilty because the Spirit of God was in me. And it wasn't until the ninth hour, the ninth day, the ninth month, 1981, that I recommitted my life. And a guy grabbed me and said, "You need nurturing."
Tell us.
I haven't looked back since then.
Tell us a little bit about what happened in between. So, like, what did you do after school? What was your early career like?
I did a radio and television a repair apprenticeship, but I'm a bit of an outgoing person. I couldn't handle, just staying in the one place. So I chuffed off to Holland and Germany, and different places. And enjoyed my life at 14, 15. I really had a good time in a way. And so I was in the choir, and we used to have these African Anglican ministers come and show on the screen the mission work. And I would pester the vicar week after week after week. "Show me some more of those videos." And in the end, he said, "Mike, be quiet, stop pestering." Because that was the beginning of my heart for missions. I didn't know it then, but now I do.
And tell us a bit about how the door opened for you in missions.
Well, I had a lot of jobs leading up to the time that I recommitted. And once I did, God just miraculously opened doors. He gave me a business. It was just so fantastic. So we started this business. And while I was importing, and so therefore I would travel to Taiwan and Hong Kong and different countries, and I would learn to travel to these places, to conferences, shall we say, and then to exhibitions. And because I was a member of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship in Brisbane, I would look the guys up wherever I went. And they would say, "Come on, Mike, we'll go to church." I made sure I was there for the weekends. And that's where my heart for missions just exploded. I was in Taiwan, and there was 8,000 people in this church called Linyan in Taipei. And I was attending it. And I saw about 70 people being water baptized because it was a big thing there. Now, this church, I found out later, was just beginning to learn about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So an English-speaking pastor was standing near me. And so I said to him, "Isn't this wonderful, all these people being baptized?" I said, "Do they actually get filled with the Spirit when they go under the water?" He said, "No, should they?" I thought, whoops. But I found out later that the church was just beginning to accept that, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I was having lunch with a whole bunch of young folk, And he found me, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, I just spoke to the senior pastor. He wants you to come back and teach the 20 people that we've saved. The rest went home. They're very, very, very keen to learn on the things of the Spirit. So I was 4 or 5 months Christian, baby Christian, really. But I did have the Holy Spirit. I went back with him, and the pastor gave me the microphone and said, go for it. So I had to teach them, which was fresh in my mind, that the scriptures relating to the Holy Spirit. And then, to cut a long story short, we got the had the people up on the platform and prayed for them, and every single one of them just fell on the floor weeping, and the pastor was flat on his face on the floor. The power of the power of God was just so strong. And I was tired from travel. Then all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, you know, how about you teach them how to worship? Because I was involved in worship at Garden City Church for many years. And I thought, oh, no, God, I'm so tired. I said, well, if the pastor asks, then I will. And straight away, the pastor said, would I do it? Oh, my goodness, God is in this. So to cut the long story really short, I stood up and started to teach them. Said, you know, you sing that, you sing this, now just worship together. And it really didn't sound very nice. But all of a sudden, the harmony was just incredible. We all started to weep. And I said, don't stop. And they kept singing and worshiping God in the other tongues. And then all of a sudden, there was a bright light at the back of the church, and voices came in, and I can tell you now, it was not a recording. Voices came in higher than any opera singer can reach, so high and so powerful and so beautiful. And everybody was just on the floor, just amazed, touched by the Holy Spirit. And it was angels, absolutely, categorically. Nobody can tell me different.
Wow.
So that was the most powerful touch of God that I've experienced among many.
Amazing. Well, I love these stories, and I know that you've got plenty of stories. You've been all over the world doing missions work. Let's just backtrack for a moment. You mentioned Full Gospel Businessmen. Now, I've got a number of friends that have been involved over the years. Tell us what this organization's all about.
Well, basically, it's Christian, preferably Christian businessmen, not necessarily, but preferably, because they invite their colleagues who are not Christians, who are in business. And you invite them to a banquet because, you know, business people get together and they have a meal, have a nice meal and talk business. So we followed that, and we would get somebody to come, somebody that's well known, like we had an astronaut once. They come and they're the guest speaker, and they tell their testimony, a bit like I just did. And at the end of the testimony, they have an altar call. Well, it's not an altar call in a hotel, is it? They call people forward, and they accept the Holy Spirit. They accept God. They become Christians. And then you find out where they live, and then you introduce them to the local church. And the local church picks them up and pursues their growth in Christ. Mm. And, yeah, and it's a great organization, started off by a man called Demos Shakarian.
Fantastic. Well, it's a great organization, and I've got many friends that have been impacted by Full Gospel Businessmen in the past. Great to see your involvement with them over the years. Now, a mutual friend of ours, Pastor Oscar Macari, who works in my church, in our charity, has told me some stories about you and him doing some missions overseas. Which part of the world did you guys go to?
Ukraine.
Wow. What was that like?
Yeah. Oh, it was another awesome trip. We went right up to the border and then back down again. But we went to one church, prearranged. And prior to that, we had been seeking God. And to me, that's the key of any Christian. If they're asking how to stay strong in Christ, seek him, seek him, seek him. And when you've done that, seek him again. Mm. Because that's what we did. I traveled up to the coast and every week and with the guys, and we prayed and we sought God. So when we went, the local mayor said, I'm sorry, you can't hold your crusade for different reasons. And so we thought, well, we're going to meet opposition, obviously, because God is with us. Anyhow, cut a long story short, the people turned up for the crusade, and we couldn't stop them. Thousands of them turned up. And so we Oscar was sharing, and the power of God was just so powerful. And there was a man and a woman who were the spies, you know, for Russia. They dubbed people in back in those days when Russia was running Ukraine. And everybody in town knew them, and they'd tell their children, earlier that man, don't talk to him, you know. And they were really sent to Coventry, isolated. And those two came to Christ magnificently. The man came, everybody knew him, so the crowd parted and allowed him to come in, and he just dropped on the floor on the platform and wept profusely. And, you know, he said, I've never seen so much love in all my life, never, ever, ever. And the same with the woman. But the powerful thing, I don't know if you know, a shofar is the Jewish horn, ram's horn.
Yeah.
And it's very significant in the Jewish faith. Well, in our faith too, because it's a powerful tool. And there was no hills, no mountains, just a church. And so it was a fairly flat land. And I don't know who it was. No, it wasn't Oscar. It was another pastor with us. He blew the shofar. And as he blew it, there was a presence of the Lord so powerful. And everybody stopped for, it must have been at least 3 minutes. Now, 3 minutes is not long. But when you're standing there quiet, it is a long time. And you could have heard a penny drop. But then all of a sudden, out of the blue, came back exactly the same tune that was played on the shofar.
Wow.
And there's absolutely no way that could have been an echo.
Mm.
And, you know, the experiences like this, you're never the same again.
Yeah.
And it gets very frustrating when you're trying to, you know, share it with some people. They haven't experienced it, and it's very hard to get across unless they come with you. So come on, I'll take you. Which I'm trying to do now, take people with me.
Well, tell us about what you've been doing in the Philippines, because I've been there before and visited an orphanage over there in Bohol. I just love to see the Filipino people. They're just so full of joy. Tell us about what you've been doing in the Philippines.
I started off in Manila, visiting the slums, and that was a real eye-opener, teaching them English and things like this, many of them coming into the kingdom of God. But now I've been working up in the mountains, and there's a young man up there who is a pastor, and I've got close to him, and we've worked together so beautifully, and we just know each other's heart. And I've been encouraging him, get on your motorbike, go over the mountains and find the Anglicans and the Catholics and the Lutherans and whoever they are. And they're scattered, you know, they have little huts. And I said, go and find them and talk to them. And this is something that we need to know and do in the West, but it's not that easy. But he did. And now the Catholic Church are sending their young people to him on Saturday to youth meetings. I mean, the ramifications of that are just incredible. And there's different denominations, and all the pastors want him, he's only 40-something, want him to share once a month at a meeting at his church. And every time I think of it, I just weep, because the power of God is just so awesome when we learn to seek him and call on him, and it's just amazing. Wow. And so now this young man is experiencing what many, many pastors would love to do, but it's not happening.
Mike, it's been so good to hear a bit of your story today of how God's been using you in missions around the world. And I know you've got lots of great stories to tell, but our time is almost up. I really wanted to just encourage you, mate. I've known you now for a few years, and I've seen you, you know, volunteering at the local Christian radio station and helping in the prayer room there. And I know that you've got such a heart for the gospel and a heart for people. And I really wanted to thank you for your time today. Mike, I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.